have your Bibles, we're turning over to the book of Revelation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We just appreciate everything you are doing to have revival. We appreciate the sacrifice that some of you are making just to be here. And I know the Lord is going to bless you for it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't think that I'll take the time to read the entire chapter 13. It would be good for you to study that chapter. It talks about the beast rising up out of the sea. It talks about the power that was given to him by the dragon. The dragon in Scripture is none other than Satan. He gave him his power and his seat and his authority. Talks about the world wandering after the beast. But I want us to direct our attention to verse 16. Revelation 13 and verse 16. Hallelujah. And would you stand for the reading of the word? And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. I'm preaching on the subject tonight of the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast. Will you pray with me that God will bless the message? Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for all that we have known and have seen that has transpired before our eyes that have led us to know that you're coming soon. And I believe you, Jesus, that not a word that we speak tonight would fall lightly upon the ears of your people. That everything that we say would be received. That everything that we speak would be brought into focus in the mind and the heart, and that it would be something that would be meditated upon, and that we would get ready. If there are those who are not prepared for your coming, that they would prepare their hearts. If there are those who are like the servant who said, "My Lord delayeth his coming," may they also get prepared. I believe you, Jesus, to move upon me, your minister. Make me as a flame of fire, Jesus, and help me under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to set forth the truths of God's word. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Be seated. Hallelujah. Now I want you to notice, first of all, that there is going to be, most of you have heard about the mark of the beast all of your lives. And you've heard about the number 666. Notice the first thing that it says in these verses of Scripture, that all must receive this mark. This is talking about after the coming of Jesus Christ. This is talking about when the Antichrist is revealed. He causeth all, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Revelation 13:7, the Bible says, power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Is going to be his right hand or in the forehead. A Washington State University professor, R. Keith Farrell, invented a laser tattoo gun in 1974, in which he laser tat fish in 1/30 billionth of a second. He replied to one question when it was asked if this number could be used for every person in the world. IBM has now developed a laser tattoo which is invisible to the naked eye. Dr. Hendrik Eldeman, chief computer analyst in Brussels, Belgium, made the statement in 1975 that by using six digital units, an international working number could be given to every human on earth. Dr. Patrick Fisher, renowned Canadian computer scientist, has stated that every individual living in an industrial nation is already tied into the giant computer systems of Brussels, Belgium, and West Germany. This is done by means of your social security numbers or your driver's license or your birth certificate, etc. The universal product code has already developed the computerized system of vertical lines that are placed on virtually all products, especially in America. However, now appearing on many of these universal product codes are those letters F and H. And it is assumed that these two letters stand for forehead and hand. I read a Senior Scholastic magazine article that talked about placing a number on a person's hand or forehead. It would be invisible to the naked eye, the article said, but legible under the designated scan light. There will come a day when every man, woman, boy, or girl living on the face of the earth will be worked into the new world system. It is interesting that Dr. Hendrik Eldeman replied when people asked him in that article that I clipped from the newspaper in 1975, when they asked him what would become of a person who refused to become a part of this system, he replied rather pointedly that they would have to be eliminated. Now the Bible says no man might buy or sell save the man that had this number. It does not say money will be used, but that a number system will be employed. The American Bar Magazine, the attorney named Spicer said this: crime would be virtually eliminated if cash became obsolete. And of course, the reasoning behind that is who can steal any cash if there is no cash? Who can rob you of your number? Who can make you give money when all you have is a number? And so lawyers are clamoring for a number system to be employed. On May the 2nd, 1976, the United Nations General Assembly declared the establishment of a new international order, which will include the cancellation of all previous debts. Now, that shouldn't have come as a surprise, because in July of 1967, in Geneva, Switzerland, when United Nations delegates met, they met for the specific purpose of coming up with an international currency. And they voted that every man, woman, boy, or girl be given a number system at that time, and that there will be one world currency with a one world international order. The Daily Oklahoman, September the 21st, 1976, made this statement: the long talked about cashless society is almost here. The Bible says it will have to take the mark of a beast. Revelation 13, 1, and verses that I've already read to you talk about this beast and talks about who gives him his power and who is the beast. He is the Antichrist. He will have power over monetary affairs. Daniel chapter 11, verse 43 says, he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver. Daniel 11, verse 24 says, he shall scatter riches. Now, notice what the number is going to be, as you already know. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. We sometimes forget that. We sometimes forget that little phrase that says, it is the number of a man. You see, God's perfect number is 7, and man's imperfect number is 6. And it says, it is the number of a man. It's the number of the beast, the Antichrist. And his number is 666. That will be his trademark. The number 666 will be the trademark of the Antichrist and of the beast. And with that in mind, I'm going to give you a few things where the number 666 is becoming so prominent. Social Security numbers of the European Common Market members all begin with 666. Better Business Bureau members here in America listed in the Better Business Bureau have numbers beginning with 666. All Arab-owned vehicles in Israel have license plate numbers that begin with 666. J.C. Penney began prefixing their account numbers in August of 1980 with the number 666. Some financial institutions in Florida are using the number 666. The U.S. Selective Service cards have on them 666. The overseas telephone operator number from Israel is 666. Tanks that were built by the Chrysler Corporation for President Carter's Secret Security Force had on their sides the number 666. The World Bank code number is 666. Australia's national bank cards have on them 666. Central Computers for Sears, Belk, J.C. Penney, and Montgomery Ward prefixed the transactions with 666, as is necessitated by computer programs. Now, because of certain furors that have been raised over this number by Christians, they are employing a different system that is not visible to the naked eye, but nevertheless exists because it is a 666 system. Let me say one thing. I do not believe that these companies are bad. I don't believe that they are entering into sinister transactions. I don't believe they have any choice. I believe in order for them to continue in business, they've got to continue this way, and they've got to do this. And it doesn't make it necessarily evil just because it's got the number 666 on it. But what I am saying is that this number becoming so prominent in every phase of business points to one thing, and that's the coming of the Antichrist. And I don't think we ought to feel condemned if we have to use. One man on his check had 666, and he refused to cash it. He would not accept the money. Well, I'd accept anything. If it had 666 on it, it wouldn't keep me from taking the money. But what I am saying, it is not with sinister intent that these companies are involved in this. They don't have a choice. It's the end time system. And the computer programs are programmed to the computer number 666. A lady came up to me about 3 weeks ago on a Wednesday night after I'd preached and showed me her Montgomery Ward card. It plainly had the first three digits were 666. In another revival after I'd preached, a man came up to me and showed me a transaction form. A computer readout had 666 on it. It's becoming very, very prominent. Until recently, and this is just until the other day, because I read it in the newspaper, and I've had to revise this particular item that I'm about to give you. Until recently, the IRS prefixed 666 on the W-2P disability form. But I read in the paper that they had changed that to 555 because so many people were upset about it. And maybe they didn't even realize why people were upset about it. President Carter's Secret Security Force had on their patches, on the sleeves, the number 666. It is predicted that the United States will be tied into the world computer system by 1984, and the number of that system will be 666. There are many other things that I could give you. I'm about to tell you something that I almost wasn't going to put in this message tonight, but I felt impressed with the Holy Spirit. And the reason I was not going to put it in the message is because I have not talked to the Assembly of God minister with whom this occurred. Laverne Tripp, who is a television personality or preacher on television, gave this illustration before the Trinity Broadcasting Company, a charismatic broadcasting company, on live television. I called his office in South Carolina, and I talked to his secretary personally. She said, yes, the story is true as far as she knows. She says, or he wouldn't have told the story. But she gave me a phone number where I could talk to him in California. So I called California, and I still was unable to get in touch with him. I wanted to talk to him personally and get the name of the Assembly of God minister before I repeated the story. I wanted to call the Assembly of God minister, who lives in a little town right out of Springfield, and talk to him individually, get more data up on it, and just verify it a step farther. Not that I have any reason to doubt Brother Tripp. I believe he's a man of God. But I believe it's always a good journalistic approach and good for ministers always to verify and try to do their best to verify anything that they say. But I felt so impressed of the Holy Spirit that I should go ahead and share it with you, that I'm sharing it only on the basis that you understand that I'm getting it not firsthand, but I'm getting it from another minister, a Pentecostal man, a charismatic man, a man filled with the Holy Ghost, that I wouldn't see why he'd want to tell a lie. I don't believe it's a lie. I believe it's the truth. But I want you to listen carefully. Now, I don't base my feelings that Jesus is coming on the basis of stories. I base it on the Bible, and I know Jesus is coming, regardless of the facts in this story. But I believe they're true. Brother Tripp said that he preached for a little church right out of Springfield, Missouri. He didn't say what church. If he'd have said what church, I would have picked up the phone and I would have called the pastor. And this minister, two doctors came to him because this minister spoke Arabic. He was of Arabic descent, and he spoke the Arabic language. And they came to him because they wanted him to serve as interpreter. They were going to Brussels, Belgium, because there was a man that they wanted to interview. And somehow these prominent doctors had successfully got an appointment with this man. Very difficult indeed to have an appointment with him. And they asked this Assemblies of God minister if he would not accompany them and go to Brussels, Belgium. Now, it's interesting that this occurs in Brussels, Belgium, because the computer there, by some, has been labeled, and they themselves have called the giant computer the beast there in Brussels, Belgium. And that's where the center of the European Common Market is located. And some believe that this European Common Market Confederacy will ultimately lead to the 10-nation kingdom that is described in the book of Revelation. But anyway, he said that they flew to Brussels, Belgium, and they went to this man's house. He lived in a castle. And they were admitted into his office. And when they got into his office, he had his back to them. And he just stood there looking out the window across the grass, across the beautiful yard, without responding when they walked in. And they just stood there for a few minutes until he turned around. And when he turned around, they said he was the most vicious-looking character they had ever seen in their lives. And all of a sudden, right before their eyes, his countenance totally changed. He seemed like the most beautiful person they'd ever seen. And he said the two doctors fell to their knees immediately without the man saying anything. And the Assembly of God pastor lifted them up. He said, "Don't bow before him. We're not to bow before him. He's not the Christ." And they got up. And this man looked at them. He said, "I am not the world leader that is to come. I am not the man that is going to lead this entire world." He said, "But I am one who is going to work hand in hand with him." And they walked outside. And the man stood out on the lawn. And he called down fire out of heaven. It's like that. He burned up a tree. He burned up this. He burned up that. Just like that. Just called it down. Anything that he wanted to do, he did it. And this preacher, the Assembly of God preacher, said he kept trying to convince them and show them of his world, of his power, and of the world leadership that was soon to come. Many other things he did. And finally, the Assembly of God minister said that he had all he could take of it. He said, "Well, let me tell you one thing. The man had said that Jesus was not the Christ, that Jesus was not the one we're to follow." He said, "I can do anything that he's supposed to be able to do. And he has not brought peace to the world, but we're going to bring peace." He said, There is one thing you cannot do, sir. He said, what is that? He said, you cannot bring somebody back to life. He said, and Jesus did it. The man said, if you'll be so kind to accompany me to the morgue, we'll see. And they went to a morgue there in Brussels, Belgium. These two medical doctors examined thoroughly a dead man, and they both agreed that he had been dead 4 days. This man walked over to them, walked over to the dead man, and said just three words. Joseph, come forth. That's all he said. And the dead man sat up. He began to scream. He said, Master, don't send me back to that place. Don't send me back to that place. For 15 minutes, he did nothing but scream, Master, don't send me back. Don't send me back. And then he fell back dead. Finally, he took them back to his castle. And the preacher asked him one other question. He said, when will you reveal yourself? He said, I repeat, I am not the man that is going to rule this world. He said, but not many days from now, he will reveal himself. He said, we're waiting for the right moment. He said, the right moment will be that moment when there is total confusion in the world. And when there is total confusion in the world, he said, he will reveal himself. There was a giant ad, newspaper ad, taken out in papers all across America announcing that a man will reveal himself on national television and he will speak in a language that regardless of what language you speak, there will be a transmittal into your mind and you will understand what the man is saying. These giant ads appeared all over America in the major newspapers of America, funded by a certain group here in America. I believe that we're headed for the showdown. I want to make it very clear. I don't know about all the details of what I've just told you because I was not able to talk to the Assembly of God pastor himself. But I am not looking for that man. That would be, he would correspond, should he be the person the Bible talks about, he would correspond to the false prophet that goes before the Antichrist. So he would correspond to. Should he be the false prophet? But I am not looking for the false prophet, nor am I looking for the Antichrist. It doesn't matter to me what happens in this old world. Because I'm looking for one that the Bible says is going to descend. It won't be Khomeini. It won't be Buddha. It won't be Muhammad. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. What I am saying is, I believe Jesus is about to come. I believe he's about to come. And I'm going to tell you two further illustrations and I'll conclude. We were in the WM rallies last year and we went from church to church in various sections. We were with Brother Darrell Pilcher in a service or in that section. It was in his church. And Brother Pilcher is a good friend of ours. His wife was one of the bridesmaids in our wedding. And he told me after the service, he said, we had an unusual experience in our church the other Sunday. He said a young teenager got back to God, and he was out on his back for about 3 hours, speaking in tongues and prophesying. He said he asked for his parents to come. They had gone home. He got them back, had them to come back. He said the instant they walked in the door, this young man that did not know, could not have known that they came in, could not have seen them, began to speak out to his mom and dad. Said, Mama, Daddy, Grandpa's not going to die. He's going up in the rapture. Grandpa's in a rest home, had one leg amputated. A similar thing happened in Missouri. One of our Assemblies of God pastors, a lady in the church, dear saint of God, 83 years of age, had just died. He was there, and he started to walk away, and God spoke to him, turned around and pray for her. And he thought, but God, she's dead. God said, pray for her. He turned around, he laid his hands upon that still form. The family was crying and weeping. And when he prayed for her, she sat up alive. God had brought her back from the dead. The family began to rejoice. They began to praise God. And she started talking about the glories of heaven. She said she had seen Jesus. And all of a sudden she somehow knew that she was not going to be allowed to stay in heaven. And she began to beg, and I want to stay in heaven. My life's through on earth. I want to stay in heaven. And Jesus said, no, you go back. And you tell my people that you will not have to die again, that you're going up in the rapture. I believe Jesus is coming. Not on the basis of what we're saying, but just on the fact of the Word of God. Hallelujah. In conjunction with the signs that we're seeing, Jesus is about to come. I believe we need to get our hearts ready for Jesus. I believe we need to get ready if we're not. We need to prepare our hearts. We need to do everything that we can for the kingdom of God just before Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Let every head be bowed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm believing you, Jesus, to stir our hearts, to move on our lives, move on every individual in this place. If there's one soul unprepared to meet God, help them to get ready before it's too late. In Jesus' name. If you're here tonight, while your heads are still bowed and your eyes are still closed, if you're here tonight and this all sounds like fantasy to you, let me assure you that it's Scripture. It's the Word of God, that Jesus is coming again. And this world is looking for somebody to lead them out of this chaotic mess. But we are looking for Jesus to take us home, we who are saved. And he's going to do it. He promised he would. He's going to be true to his word. He's going to come. He's going to come soon. And I want everybody in this building that's saved and right with God. You know you're ready to meet Jesus. You know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I want you to stand. Don't look around. Don't stand because your neighbor does. Stand only if you know you're right with God. Don't look around. Let's make this a private matter. Keep your eyes closed. Hallelujah. And I want everybody else in this building to stand that may not have been able to stand. I want you to stand as well. Everybody now standing in the building. Every individual in this building standing. Hallelujah. I don't know your hearts. I noticed there were very few that remained seated. In a way, I praise God for that. In a way, I wish there had been a whole house full of people who would have been stirred and challenged with this message, who were not saved, not right with God, who would have given God the opportunity to save their souls in this service tonight. But for those of you that could not say, I'm ready to meet Jesus, we're asking God to get you ready before it's too late. We're asking God to get hold of your heart and your life and make you ready before it's too late. If you could not stand, you could not say, I'm ready, I want you to come and kneel at the altars right now. Walk all the way down here. You may not understand our method of worship, but one thing you do understand is this feeling that you have that God is talking to you, and speaking to your heart. So I want you to come and kneel down here at the front, and there will be people who will pray with you and believe God that you will be saved and right with God before you leave this building tonight. So if you could not stand, you could not say, I'm ready to meet Jesus, I want you to come. We're living on borrowed time right now because Jesus is about to come. I believe every moment that we have is borrowed time. I believe Jesus could have come 10 years ago. I believe we're living in what is called by Bible scholars the overlapping period between dispensations. You find in every dispensation the overlapping effect, one dispensation to the other. I believe that's what we're living in. And I believe we're living on borrowed time. Jesus is about to come, and he may come before this service ends. Hallelujah. If you could not stand, please walk down this aisle and say yes to God. Walk down this aisle and say yes to God before it's too late. Oh, Jesus, I want every Christian to pray. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, because we're ready. But we're concerned about a few individuals that can't say that, can't look up to heaven and say, I'm ready to meet God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, with a conviction as strong as it is in this place, to move them before it's too late. You never forced anybody to get saved, and we can't do it either, but we leave it in your hands, God. We leave it in your hands. Dear God, move. Dear God, move. In 1 minute, we're going to close. If there are individuals who are not certain about your soul's salvation, by all means, get down here in this next minute, because Jesus is surely coming. He's surely coming. He's promised it. He said it in his word, and he's going to do it. Hallelujah.